Okay, hallelujah. Avinu Malkeinu, our Father, King, we thank you for this day. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you, Father, that your word never returns to you void, Father. I ask you that you give us ears to hear and hearts to receive what is being said today. Ruach HaKodesh, I ask you that you take control, that your anointing goes forth, because your word brings forth life in Yeshua's name. And I pray for every person that's listening to this podcast as well, that they're going to be encouraged and strengthened to step out to do what Yahweh has called them to do in Yeshua's name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Again, one of the most important things that we need to have as a believer is a strong prayer life. And it's one of the areas the enemy always tries to distract us, you know, because the cares of life, and again, I'll admit this sometimes too, I tend to be like a Martha. I'm busy, busy, busy doing the things of the ministry that, you know, I need to, you know, remind myself I need to have time to sit at his feet. You know, otherwise I'll be burnt. I need his strength. I need that relationship with him, because that means everything. And that's what prayer is. It's having a relationship with God. Just as Adam walked with God in the garden, we, because of Yeshua, can walk with God every single day of our life. He is always there for us. Okay, but there's things, there's proper ways to come into his presence. There's proper ways to approach him as we go before him in prayer. Hallelujah. So again, in Scripture, there's 13 personal prerequisites to prayer or tefillah. Also, it's interesting because there's 13 principles of the Jewish faith, which was put together by Rambam, and I'm going to read them, but I give them a messianic twist to it. Okay. For the 13, it says, I believe with perfect faith that God is the creator and ruler of all things. He alone is made, does make, and will make all things. Amen. I believe with perfect faith that God is one. There is no unity that is any way like his. He alone is our God. He was, and he is, and he will be. And I think last week Sandy gave an excellent description of what the oneness of God is. He is one, but he manifests himself as Father, as Savior, Yeshua, and as Ruach HaKodesh indwells us. You know, his ways are higher than our ways. And, we, you know, I just accept that he's God. Amen. He can do what he wants, you know. He created us. He says, I believe in perfect faith that God does not have a body, physical concept, do not apply to him. There is nothing whatsoever that resembles him at all. We know that he is spirit, but he manifested himself. We know that Yeshua is Yahweh in the flesh. He was not just a man. He was Yahweh in the flesh. Hallelujah. I believe that with perfect faith that Yahweh is first and last. What did Yeshua say? I am the Aleph and the Tav, the Alpha and Omega. I believe with perfect faith that it is only proper to pray to God. One may not pray to anyone or anything else. Amen. Yeshua said, you pray, when you go before the Father, you pray in my name. Hallelujah. We don't pray to the saints. We don't pray to anything, statues or tree trunks or whatever, you know, only to Yahweh. I believe with perfect faith it is only proper to pray to God. Okay, number six, I believe with perfect faith that all words of the prophets are true. Amen. Amen. I believe with perfect faith that the prophecy of Moses is absolutely true. He was the chief of all prophets, both before and after him. Number eight, I believe with perfect faith that the entire Torah that we now have is that which is given to Moses. Number nine, I believe with perfect faith that this Torah will not be changed and that there will never be another given by God. Again, what did Yeshua say? Heaven and earth will pass away, but my Torah will not pass away. I believe with perfect faith that God knows all men's deeds and thoughts. It is thus written in Psalm 31:15. He has molded every heart together. He understands what each one does. Number 11, I believe with perfect faith that God rewards those who keep his commandments and punishes those who transgress them. What did Yeshua say? If you love me, you'll obey my commandments. Okay? Again, just because we're believers doesn't give us a license to not obey God. Because if we do, we'll suffer the consequences. I believe with perfect faith in the coming of Messiah. How long it takes, I will wait his coming every day. So us as believers, we believe in the return of Messiah, and we wait his coming every day. Every day we should be looking for his return, but every day we need to be busy doing what he's called us to do. Okay? And again, don't believe people when they say he's going to return on, you know, November 15th, or, you know, this one movie pastor keeps on saying, you know, well, and people follow this, you know, it's like instead of the word, it's like, Yeshua said he'd come as a thief in the night. If he wanted us to know, he'd tell us. But the reason why he doesn't tell us is because he knows we'd be sitting there and say, well, he's coming back, you know, November 15th, I might as well, why bother? You know, but that he doesn't. We are to wait expectantly for him every day. We know he will return. Whether it's in our lifetime or not, he will return because his word says so. Hallelujah. And number 13, I believe with perfect faith that the dead will be brought back to life when God wills it to happen. Again, 1 Thessalonians says that the dead in Christ, at the shout of the last shofar, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive will be caught up to meet him in the air. And I believe, you know why? Because we're all going to get the opportunity to triumphantly return with him. We all get to be with all, you know, I was thinking about that day, just think, David and Solomon, all these great men and women of God, you know, the apostles, the prophets, all of them were going to join him for life. He's going to bring us up, what, to return back with him. We're going to be in that heavenly procession as the bride coming back. Hallelujah. We need to constantly be looking forward to that. Okay, the first personal prerequisite, again, is sincerity. This is clearly taught in, you know, scriptures. We need to have a sincere heart when we come before God. A lot of these scriptures I have written down just for the sake of time, so I'm just going to read you what I have, okay? Job 16:17, Job says, my prayer is pure, and it was sincere. Job had a sincere heart. Our hearts must be sincere before God. I mean, he knows what. Psalm 145:18 says that Yahweh is nigh unto all them that call upon him, to all that call upon him in truth. Matthew 6:5 states, and when you pray, you shall not be as the hypocrites who pray only to be seen of men. This is a mark of insincerity. If we're praying just to put on a show, you know, just to show people who are going to see how spiritual I am, God sees the heart. Okay, yeah, prayer can be, we can get emotional in prayer, but we're not doing it to put on a show. We're doing it because that's our heart crying out to God. Okay, Mark 12:40, for a pretense makes long prayers. Again, your prayers don't have to be long to be powerful. You know, sometimes it'll just be a little cry from my heart will be the most powerful prayer I've ever prayed, and God will be there and answer it. Or even just that little desire in the heart that you've just been crying out to God and just, you know, and he'll see that and he'll answer it because he loves us, okay? Praying pretentiously is insincere, and praying in sincerity is one important prerequisite to prayer. Reverence, it's important that we know before whom we stand, that he is Yahweh. Again, if prayer has been, you know, prayer and faith. Faith is a teaching of the word. Okay, the scriptures talk that we have to live by faith, but it's been perverted to a point where, you know, we're telling God what to do and, you know, he's our puppet. You know, we come before him with reverence. Again, our Shabbat prayers are reverenced as we come before him. Ecclesiastes 5:2 states, be not rash with your mouth. We need to be really, I mean, that's a place where we're all snared by, is the words of our mouth. You know, we live in a society where people just, you know, blurt out things. We need to, when we come before God, we need to, again, be careful what we're blurting out of our mouth. Again, be careful what we say about one another. You know, Lashon Hara. I mean, I have to correct myself all the time. I mean, the Rock HaKodesh, I mean, he'll get you right away. Because we want to always, you know, and Yahweh was telling me, you know, speaking to my heart, he says, Rock HaKodesh, when you're ready to speak negative about somebody, turn it into a prayer.
Amen.
You know, instead of criticizing that person, say, amen, Father, I thank you that that person's your child and that you would correct them by your spirit and pray for them, because it's so easy to criticize people.
Amen.
We're all guilty of that. But you know what? He says, turn it into a prayer instead. When you're ready to criticize somebody, pray for them instead. Because number one, we don't know what that person's going through or what they've been through. It doesn't mean you teach error, you don't correct error. We're supposed to correct error. Okay, but we don't go about spreading rumors either. Okay? Again, this Lashon Hara, where so how many people have been destroyed by it. And believe me, if there's somebody in a ministry that's sinning, God knows how to take them down. You know, their sin will find them out. But we're supposed to intercede and pray for one another. Rashness is a sign of irreverence. Matthew 6:9 teaches that we are to approach Yahweh, the Father, and say, "Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Holy is your name." Your name is sacred. It is holy. When we approach God on that basis, there's a sense of reverence and awe. Again, there's a saying, familiarity brings contempt. You know, we need to realize every day who we stand before and that He is with us wherever we go. There's nothing hid by Him. We've got to reverence His holiness. Hebrews 12, 28-29 speaks about coming to God with reverence and awe, for God is a consuming fire. Hallelujah. And I want His fire to consume everything in me that's not pleasing to Him. I want Him to burn off the dross. You know, yes, I want Him to control what I say, what I think about people. Mm-hmm. And, you know, burn off what's not pleasing to Him. I want His fire to consume me in a positive way. Amen. Hallelujah. The third personal requisite is humility. I think that's, we all need to learn that. Mm-hmm. Psalm 10:17 says that Yahweh hears the desire of the meek. In Luke 18:9-14, Yeshua gave the story of the Pharisee and the publican. Let's turn to that. Let's go to Luke 18:9-14. And He told them this parable. To certain ones who trusted in themselves that they were righteous and viewed others with contempt, two men went up into the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax gatherer. The Pharisee stood and was praying thus to himself, "God, I thank Thee that I'm not like other people, swindlers, unjust, adulterers, or even like this tax gatherer. Fast twice a week. I pay tithes of all that I get." But the tax gatherer, standing some distance away, was even unwilling to lift up his eyes to heaven, but was beating his breast, saying, "Yahweh, be merciful to me, the sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone who exalts himself shall be humbled, but he who humbles himself shall be exalted." Hallelujah. You know how many times... And again, I think we're a lot of times guilty of this in the Messianic movement. We've received this revelation from Yahweh, and all of a sudden we look down our noses as people in the church. Mm-hmm. We should be praying that God would open their hearts. Father, pray that doors will open for us to share this. We can't look down on them. You know, if they don't want to hear, fine. You know, pray for them. But we can't look and say, well, I've got this revelation, so therefore I'm better than them. You know, again, there's a lot of believers that truly love Yeshua, and they're walking in what they know. And I believe that if they're hungry, God's going to bring them to this truth. He will open the door. But again, if we have an attitude like, you know, well, we've arrived, you know what, we're in big trouble then. We have to, again, God's been convicting me because it's, and, you know, and I see this all the time. We need to, there are brothers and sisters in Messiah. And we need to, you know, praise God that He picked you. For this revelation, He picked you to train you, so that when those in the church are really ready to hear this message, you'll be ready to be used by Him. If we walk in humility and humbleness before Him and meekness. You know, God's opened the door for Stacy to teach a pastor on Hebrew roots. You know, that's hungry. I mean, God is opening doors. He opened this door for this radio ministry, but we have to be humble, you know, and have humility. Because look where God's brought us. You know, we've all, you know, probably everybody here, most of the people that are listening came out of the church. Not everything right. We learned in the church was wrong, bad. Right. I learned faith. I got filled with the Ruach HaKodesh, the Spirit of God. I learned faithfulness. But I was constantly seeking God and constantly wanting the truth. And that's why you're here. We have to constantly have that attitude and praying for the truth. But we can't look down our noses at other people either. Again, in Luke 18:9-14, gives the same teaching. Let's go to Psalm 10:17. Again, let's look at that again. O Lord, thou hast heard the desire of the humble or the meek. Thou wilt strengthen their heart. Thou wilt incline thine ear. We need to, again, walk in humility. I mean, how many times do we see people get puffed up with pride and, you know, well, look at how, you know, great I am. God did this. You know, that's not humility. Humility is, thank you, Father, that you love me so much that even though I don't deserve the blessings that you've blessed me. Okay? Humility is very important when we come before Yahweh in prayer. Another thing, importunity, persistent. Are we persistent in our prayer? Or do we just pray once and give up? Okay? We need to be persistent. Luke, again, let's go to Luke 11, verses 5 to 13. Again, if you want to be one who's used of Yahweh in ministry, you have to be persistent. You can't give up. Hallelujah. It says we're to fight the good fight of faith. What's that fight? Not believing the things that the enemy's trying to show you, but believing what the Word of God says. Because we're constantly, you know, he's constantly coming against us, telling us, you can't do this, you can't do that. Well, you know what? Go back. The Word says, I can do all things through Messiah who strengthens me. If God has called me, I will do what he has called me to do. Hallelujah. Luke 11. Where was Luke 11, 5 to 13. And he said, suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, do not bother me. The door has already been shut, and my children and I are in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence he will get up and give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. So again, he's saying we need to be persistent in our prayer. You know, not for selfishness, but persistent. Do we really mean business with reaching Chicago? Do we really mean business for God to use us in our gifts? He's saying you need to be persistent. God wants to see how persistent we're going to be. Do you really want to serve me? How many times people, yes, I want to serve you. When the opportunity comes, they make excuses not to. Or I'm too busy. You know, it's like, are we persistent? Again, persistence has 3 levels. Asking, to keep on asking. Go to James 1:5-6. I love James. I love the book of James. He was the pastor of Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Torah observant. That's why a lot of pastors have a problem with him. Did you know that Martin Luther wanted to take the book of James out of the Bible because he thought he was, you know, he was works oriented? But guess what? Faith without works is dead. James 1:5-6. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. Let him, this man, not expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. So again, we need to ask in faith without doubting. Okay? We need to, and if any, I know this has happened to me so many times in ministering and work, when I come up to like kind of like a brick wall and I didn't know what to do, I said, Father, I need your wisdom. Show me how to work out this problem. Please show me what to do. And you know what? He gives me the wisdom to know how to do it. All of a sudden, the answer is there. Why? Because I asked him. And he abides within us. You know, he is with us all. I mean, he is so awesome. I mean, just think, we've got the Spirit of Yahweh inside us, that we can have a conversation with him no matter where we are. You know, it's like, we, you know, if we're sitting in front of our computer or if we're driving down the street, you know, it's like he is always there for us. Hallelujah. We're to keep on seeking to find the answer. Go to 2 Corinthians 12:9. A lot of problems, we give up too easily. We give up too quickly. And you know what? If you're called to serve him, you better not give up. You better be persistent and you better mean business. Yeah, there's going to be times when you're discouraged. You know what? That's when you need to encourage yourself in the Lord. But he says, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. When we are weak, he is strong within us. Hallelujah. And we need to keep on knocking for open doors. We need to keep on knocking. God, open the doors for us to reach Chicago. Open the doors for us to use our gifts. Open the doors where this Chicago Restoration Conference is going to be packed to the gill. People are going to be hungry. Do we really mean business? We need to pray. We need to bang on that door. God, I mean business with you. Please open the door for us, for your glory. Not for selfish means, but for his glory. Hallelujah. Submission. We need to submit ourselves to the will of Yahweh for our life. According to Matthew 6:10, we should pray, his will be done, yes, not ours. Amen. Okay? We want his perfect will for our life. Because you know what? If it's our will, it's going to be a mess. Yes. But when it's his will, he's going to be there. He's going to work with us. He's going to open doors. He's going to provide for us. Matthew 26:39, Yeshua himself prayed, not as I will, but as you will. Again, let's go to Matthew 26:39. Again, he's in the garden knowing that he's about to face the most horrible death. But he says he knew this is what he came to do. Okay, and he's showing us an example of being totally submissive to the will of God. He says, my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me, yet not as I will, but as thou will. You know, he totally humbled himself before God and said, your will be done. I know it's ahead. I know this is what I came to do. But let your will be done. If there was another way, but if there's not, then I'm going to lay my life down as justly as I came to do. In 2 Corinthians 12:8-9, Paul himself was willing to be in submission to the will of God concerning removal of the thorn. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 12:8-9. Begin with verse 7. And because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, for this reason, to keep me from exalting myself, there was given me a thorn in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, to keep me from exalting myself. Wow. It wasn't a sickness, it was a messenger of Satan. It was harassment. Why? To keep him humble, to keep him dependent on God. And not, you know, even Paul isn't been here. You know what? God knew that I could get puffed up with pride. You know, God knows how to do it. And I thank him for it. We can't. Again, we didn't even get the abundance of revelation yet that, you know, Paul did. He says, concerning this, I entreat my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is perfected in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, I will rather boast about my weakness, that the power of Messiah may dwell in me. Therefore, I am well content with weaknesses, with insults, with distresses, with persecutions, with difficulties, for Messiah's sake, for when I am weak, then he is strong. Hallelujah. Go to 1 John 5:14. So this is the confidence that we have before him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. That's the key. According to his will. His word is his will. Okay, if you don't know the word, you're not going to know what his will is. And we submit ourselves to his will. You know, so we can come confidently before him. Is it his will for us to preach the gospel? Yes. Is it his will for us to reach Chicago with the whole truth of Yeshua and the Torah? Yes. Is it his will to heal people? Yes. Is it his will to set people free and deliver them? Yes. Isaiah 61. You know, that's the good news. Is it his will for us to help feed the widow and the orphan and to help people? Yes. So we can go boldly and pray for God to meet the needs to do this. Is he going to meet those needs? Yes. Is it his will for us to have a kekila here where people can get trained and praise God and learn the word? Yes. Hallelujah. Is it his will for this place to be filled up? Yes. Amen. Is it his will for him to use every single one of you in the gifts that he's placed within you?
Absolutely. Yes.
So we know if we ask anything according to his will, he will hear us. Hallelujah. And again, we live this. So we're not, you know, we've walked this and we've lived this. And we know what it takes to be used of God. Okay? And it takes by trusting him and not looking at what you see. And, you know, there's times where, you know, will we get discouraged? Yeah. But when I'm down, he, you know, Rabbi Scott's here lifting me up. Don't you? We're going to make it. We're going to, you know, and praying. And yeah, it can be discouraging sometimes. But you know what? We need to fight the fight of faith. We need to pray and believe and take those steps of faith to do what he has called us to do. Because when I stand before him, I want him to say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've done what I've called you to do. You didn't make excuses why you couldn't do it. You believed my word." Hallelujah. That's why this little group has been able to do what we've been able to do, because we believe God. And that's why he is opening more doors for us. Because he sees that we're faithful and that we mean business with God, and we will lay down our lives to make sure that's done. And we will do without to make sure it's done. Hallelujah. We submit ourselves to his will. Obedience. The sixth prerequisite, obedience. Yes. Where it says to obey is better than sacrifice. Amen. Hallelujah. God is looking for people that are obedient people. Let's go to 1 John 3:22. But whatever we ask, we receive from him, because what? We keep his commandments and do the things that are pleasing in his sight. Hallelujah. So we could have that confidence. Hallelujah. Because we are obedient to him. Prayer is not effective if it does not align itself with the character of Yahweh. By aligning ourselves with the character of Yahweh, we are characterized by obedience, and Yahweh will answer our prayers because we keep his commandments, mitzvot, and Torah, just as Yeshua asked us to do. We're not looking for loopholes in the law. We're not looking for reasons why we don't have to, because we're under grace. If you truly love God, your heart cry is, "Father, how can I obey you even more? Show me where I'm missing it. I want to obey you." So obey is better than sacrifice. That's why I don't understand why we try to convince ourselves that we don't have to obey him, that his Torah no longer applies to us. Again, where's your love for God? If you really love God, you are on your face, on your knees, "Master, how can I serve you?
Yes.
What can I do? Where am I? Is there a place in my life that's not obedient to you?" It's not about earning salvation.
Yes.
It's about walking in obedience to him.
Yes.
You know, that's what the great men and women in the Bible, they weren't looking for ways out of obeying God. They were trying to find out, God, how can we obey you more? How can we do what you've called me to do? To obey is better than sacrifice. Hallelujah. Even if everybody else turns their back on you, you just keep on going. Because you know what? God will add on brothers and sisters with like-mindedness.
Yes, he will.
Will there be persecution? Of course there's going to be persecution. Why are we surprised? Yeshua said if they persecuted me, they're going to persecute you. If they hated me, they're going to hate you. You know, surprise. Why are we surprised when that happens? Okay. But he is with us. He says, he that endures to the end shall be saved. Hallelujah. Are we earnest when we come before God? Are we earnest in our hearts? Luke 22:44 says that being in agony, he prayed more earnestly. The context of this is at the agony of Gethsemane. Three times Yeshua prayed, and the agony which he prayed showed his earnestness. He was in such agony that he sweated drops of blood. And when I was reading a doctor's telling about what, you know, what could, that could actually happen, because you're under so much stress that your capillaries start bursting and the blood actually comes through your pores. I mean, we have no idea the agony, because you know the enemy did not want him to go to that cross. And he was fighting, you know, against principalities, I really believe against principalities and powers, but you know, he was Yahweh, and he did exactly what he came to do. Acts 12:5, we need that prayer was earnest. Again, Acts 12:5 says that prayer was made earnestly for the assembly unto God for Peter. Go to Acts 12:5. Their prayer was so strong that it got Peter out of jail.
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Earnest prayer. Let's begin with verse 1. Now about that time Herod, the king, laid hands on some who belonged to the assembly, or ecclesia, in order to mistreat them. And he had James, the brother of John, put to death with a sword. And when he saw that it pleased some of the Jews, or the Jewish leader, wasn't all the Jews, sometimes the English makes it, you know, sound a little bit, you know, prejudiced, but it's talking about the corrupt leaders. He proceeded to arrest Peter also. Now it was during the days of unleavened bread. And when he had seized him, he put him in prison, delivered him to four squads of soldiers to guard him, intending after the Passover to bring him out before the people. I mean, he was such a threat that it took four squads of Roman soldiers to protect him. Big deal. Guy knows how to get him out. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church of God. They didn't say, oh, well, Peter, you're in prison. You know what? Sorry about it. You know, they prayed earnestly for him. And on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers bound with two chains, and guards in the front door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of Yahweh suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and said, "Get up, we're getting out of here." And his chains fell off his hands.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And the angel said to him, "Gird yourself and put on your sandals," and he did so. And he said to him, "Wrap your cloak around you and follow me." And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know what was being done by the angel was real, but he thought he was seeing a vision. And when they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself, and they went out along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. Our prayers availeth much. I don't know about you, but I believe in ministering angels. I know that they are there, and they only heed to the word of God. They only heed, and those believers are earnestly praying that word, and God sent an angel to deliver, and they just walk right past those Roman soldiers. If you know anything about history, those Roman soldiers were the toughest of the tough.
Yes.
I mean, they were hard, and you know, and it was, they all probably got the death sentence, because for that to happen, they were in big trouble. But God delivered Peter. Hallelujah.
Yes.
Why? Because of earnest prayer. Our prayers availeth much. And we need, if we want to see this ministry, every single one of us need to earnestly praying for what God has called us to do. This is not a game. I am not playing church. You know, we're not just doing this, oh, let's just get together, you know. We've got a job to do, and we need to earnestly pray, God, open the doors for us. We will go through. Open the doors for us. Every single one of us, you've been called here for a purpose. Many people have been called here, but you know what? They let offenses, and then they left instead of staying and doing what God has called them to do. Again, it's been prophesied by so many people of what God has in store for this congregation, if we're obedient. If we're not, you know what? He's well able to raise somebody else up. But I don't want somebody else to get the job he's called me to. I want to do it.
Amen.
I want to do what he's called me to do. Important. We must abide in Messiah. We must have an active relationship with him. So the eighth is abiding in Messiah, staying in fellowship with the Master. Hallelujah. Let's go to alone with him, to be in his presence and just and to love him. Hallelujah. Let's begin with verse 1. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes in that it may bear more fruit. You are already clean because of the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, he bears much fruit. From apart from me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is thrown away as a branch and dries up, and they gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Sounds like a warning to me that we need to make sure that we abide in his presence. Okay? If you abide in, this is Yeshua's words. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it shall be done for you. Why? By this is my Father glorified, that you, why, have $1 million and drive a Mercedes and have, you know, the you know, blings on your fingers and, you know, on your toes and everywhere else. No, that my Father may be glorified. That's the reason for our fruit, that we prove to be his Talmudim, his disciples. Just as the Father has loved me, I also have loved you and abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, if, the if clause, okay, if you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be made full. Amen. Hallelujah. The branch produces what the vine has determined. It is the vine that determines the fruit that the branch is going to produce. Abide means to remain in vital contact with someone or something. It is a word that means to be joined with, to be totally submitted to, and to depend upon. We show that we are in fellowship with our Master by keeping his commandments. Again, if we truly love him, why are we looking for ways out not to obey him? Hallelujah. Amen. Forgiveness, very important.
Amen.
Let's go to Mark 11:25. If we have unforgiveness, our prayers will be hindered. You know, if we're sitting wondering why, you ever sometimes you pray and it just seems like there's like a wall there. It's like there's, you know, you're not getting through. Yasagarak HaKodesh, search my heart. And probably 9 out of 10 times, it's because there's a bitterness or unforgiveness in your heart towards somebody else. Okay? And it's easy, you know, hey, it's easy to do, to let that spirit in. But you know what? Yeshua says that if you don't forgive, you won't be forgiven. That's a pretty serious statement. Who are we not to forgive somebody when God has forgiven us of so much? That's making us, if we carry unforgiveness, that's setting ourselves above God. God can forgive, but we can't. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father also who is in heaven may forgive your transgressions. But if you do not forgive, neither will your Father who is in heaven forgive your transgressions. A forgiving spirit is a vital prerequisite to our prayer life. If we have a bitter spirit, we may be mouthing prayers, but those prayers are unreal and even worse, not heard. Again, it's very easy for let that root of bitterness. But we have to say, God, take that root out. I don't want it. Because you know what? The only person that's hurting is you. The person that did something to you, they didn't care less. You're hurting, you're hindering your own prayer walk, you're hindering your own relationship, you're hindering your own self from going forward by not forgiving. Next, repentance. The 10th is repentance, or teshuva. Merely confessing our sins without true repentance does not avail. Go to Luke 18, 13 and 14. You know, what did Yeshua say? We know this because, you know, we learned it how many times when he was on the cross. Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Hallelujah. Forgiveness of God is just, when I look at it, all I've done and all I've failed to do, and how he's Hallelujah. Always been there to forgive, and he still uses us.
Yes.
As imperfect as we are, and at times we stumble. And, you know, fall. He lifts us back up if we have repented hearts. Hallelujah. And forgiveness is, it's okay. My blood is over you.
Yes.
Keep going forward. You know, none of us, you know, it's like, again, I don't think of myself as anything special. I'm amazed half the time that God would even use me. You know, it's like, I don't have the education that most people have. Most of you probably have more education than I do. But God is looking for a humble heart. And you know what? God will give you more wisdom than you ever thought possible. Thank God that he wants to use us. I mean, it's just like, and he needs to use us. Anything he's going to do on this earth is going to be through his people. You know, not through the angels. The angels hearken to the voice of God. They are the servants of the ministers of God. He needs us to do it. And you know, when I look at people who make excuses not to tithe, make excuses, why not to give? Where is your heart for the kingdom of God? You know what? Where is your heart for serving God? And even Messianic believers, we don't have to tithe because there's not a temple. You know, you should say, God, how much do you want me to give? 10%, that's not enough. I want to give more. Why are we looking for excuses? Why can't afford to? Who's in control of your finances?
Amen.
You know, if we always did what we can't afford to do, we'll never do anything from God. It's faith and it's worship. When we give to God, it's worship to him. Father, this 100% belongs to you anyway. He's only asking for 10%. You know, does he need the money? He doesn't need the money. Again, how much do we love him? You know, yeah, it's a step of faith because you know what? Your eyes are looking at the bills. And you know what? It's like, well, you know, the 10%. You know what, God? It belongs to you. And you know what? We've lived it. Everything we've done is because of obedience to him. And God has blessed us 100-fold more. You know, not talk about people coming to your door with $1 million, and you know, that's a perversion. You know, give me 500 and God will give you 5,000. No, God will meet your needs, not your wants. When you have a need, when you're meeting the needs of the kingdom, when you're meeting the needs, you really mean business. Father, we want to see this work done. He's going to meet your needs. Why? Because he is your God. He is the God of your finances. He is the God of your life. Hallelujah. So again, we need to have repentive hearts. Again, it's the same parable about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Again, standing humbly before God. The 11th prerequisite, righteousness and godliness. Hallelujah. I love the Psalms. Psalm 32:6 says, "Let everyone who is godly pray unto you." Psalm 34:15, "The eyes of Yahweh are toward the righteous." Who are the righteous? Those that obey him. Hallelujah. and his ears are open unto their cry. Psalm 145:19. He will fulfill the desire of them that fear him. He will also hear their cry and will save them. Hallelujah. Proverbs 15:8. The prayer of the upright is his delight. 1 Peter 3:12. For the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears unto their supplication, but the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. Again, who are the righteous? Those who obey God, those who walk according to his Torah. Not because we're trying to earn our salvation, because we love God and we're walking in the righteousness. This is, we're the righteousness of God and Messiah. If we're the righteousness of God and Messiah, then we're going to walk as people that are righteous. Hallelujah. In righteousness and in godliness. Again, a believer, you know, I think it's so important to realize that we are holy. Set apart in him. Boldness. Where should we can boldly go before the throne of grace? Go to Hebrews chapter 4. You know, again, I was praying and praying. It's like, Father, what, you know, I don't know what to teach on this Shabbat. You know, Chris, every week I ask him, what does he want to say to you? And it just was on my heart, you know, prayer and faith. This is for you. It's for me too. I needed it too. You know, it's like David. I was encouraging myself, you know, in the Lord. We can't forget, you know, some of the things that seem so basic. And sometimes we're so busy filling ourselves up with head knowledge that we forget the important things. Sitting at his feet, fellowshipping with him, taking, you know, steps of faith. Hebrews 4:15-16. Let's begin at verse 14. Since we have a great high priest called Hen Hagadol, who has passed through the heavens, Yeshua, the Son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has been tempted in all things as we are, yet without sin. He knows everything you've ever been through. He knows every hurt. He knows every pain. He knows what it's like. He walked this earth for 33 years. He knows what you're going through. So he is there and he can sympathize with us. But he says, let us draw near with confidence to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy to find grace and help of time of need. Not grace so we can go out and sin and do as we please and then repent. Yeah. You know, that's cheap grace. Grace. For in time of need, his grace, his mercy upon us. Because we have Yeshua as our Kohen Hagadol, he is ever there making intercession for us. Because he knows the principalities and powers that are coming against us. If we could see what's going on in the spirit realm, we'd probably freak out. The spiritual warfare that's going on. But Yeshua is up there because the enemy is always trying to accuse God's people. But Yeshua is there interceding and standing in the gap for us. We need to be fervent in our prayer. Let's go to James again, chapter 5. Therefore, confess your sins to one another. Well, I don't want to do that. You know, if people know that I've got a problem, then, you know, it's like... No, we're to confess our sins to one another and pray for one another. You know, we're not to confess our sins to one another so we can go and gossip and tell everybody, well, you know what Sister So-and-so did, you know what she openly confessed. It's like, no, so we can pray for one another so that you may be healed. The effective prayer of a righteous man can accomplish much. Our prayers can accomplish much in one another's life. We should never look down on one another if we're having a struggle, if we're sincerely trying to get free from that. We need to pray and encourage one another and not condemn one another. Because you know what? The minute you start judging somebody else, you're going to find yourself in the same situation. God's way of humbling you. Okay? Hallelujah. It's okay, Father. Keep me humble. Hallelujah. We need to confess our sins. We need to confess our sins. We need to wipe our slate clean as part of our prayer to fill a life. Psalm 66:18 says, "If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me." Again, we may be mouthing prayers, but if we dwell in iniquity, the prayer is not answered. Proverbs 28:9 says, "He that turns away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer is an abomination." So you better be careful when you're talking against God's Torah. Because if he says, if you turn your ear away from hearing his Torah, that your prayers are an abomination. Isaiah 59:1-2, "Your sins have hid his face from you so that he will not hear." Confessing sin is an important element as a subjective condition. Again, that's why we have the mikvah services. So we can search our hearts. The Ruach HaKodesh can search our hearts and show us areas in our heart that we need to confess. You know, and a lot of times it's not the big overt sins. It's those sins in the heart. Jealousy, lashon hara, hatred, bitterness, things that nobody sees on the outside.
Right.
But God sees and will hinder us. Okay? Again, I love Isaiah. Hallelujah. Ephesians 4:26 says, "Let not the sun go down on your wrath." For us married folks, sometimes it can be hard to do, but you know what? We need to do it. We can't go to bed with unforgiveness in our heart. Okay? Hallelujah. I'm good at the silent treatment sometimes. Hallelujah. We've married 23 years, though. Hallelujah. Praise God. We've made it through many, many things that most people wouldn't make it through. Hallelujah. But you know, because we know we're in covenant. And we love one another. Hallelujah. 1 John 1:9 says that if we confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But again, we need to confess, you know, our sins before and humble ourselves, and then he will cleanse us. Hallelujah. Watchfulness. Part of prayer is being a watchman on the wall, being awake. Hallelujah. Matthew 26. Let's go back to Matthew 26. And again, I'm going all the way through this because I think it's important. We need to get all the way through it. I don't know about you, but I'm getting blessed. I'm getting encouraged. Hallelujah. Here's Yeshua's talking to his disciples in the garden. Let's back up to verse 40. "And he came to the Talmudim and found them sleeping and said to Peter, 'So you men could not keep watch with me for 1 hour?'" How many times, if I'm going to be honest, have we started to pray and all of a sudden we're like, they have flesh, you know, the enemy, or we start studying our Bible and all of a sudden it's like, you know, it's a fight. You know, you can have insomnia, but the minute you start reading your Bible, it's main business with God. It's like, it's a spirit, you know, and you need to rebuke that spirit. What he's telling us is, "Keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak." He went away then a second time and prayed, saying, "Father, if this cannot pass away until I drink it, thy will be done." And again he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And don't you think, too, he wanted them awake to teach them a lesson of perseverance, too, and of intercession and prayer? "And he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were heavy. And he left them again and went away and prayed a third time, saying the same thing once more. Then he came to the Talmudim and said to them, 'Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand, and the Son of Man is being betrayed into the hands of sinners. Arise, let us be going. Behold, the one who betrays me is at hand.'" We need to be watchful. We need to be watchful in the spirit of what's going on in the world. We need to be watchful of interceding and praying. You know, that we cannot be slack. God has called us to warn people, to be watchmen on the walls. Watchfulness emphasizes wakefulness, because in this context, the Talmudim were sleeping when Yeshua made these statements. Faith, or imunah. Again, in Hebraic terms, faith is an action. Okay? You show Yahweh your faith by your action. That's what James said. Okay? There's four parts. Number one, belief, the content of faith, the promises of Yahweh, and the prerequisite subject condition to prayer. So let's look at belief. Hallelujah. First, we must believe. Matthew 21:21-22 states, "Have faith and doubt not. In all things whatsoever you shall ask in prayer, believing you shall receive." And there's one scripture says, you know, delight yourself in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart. That doesn't mean that anything you desire, he's going to give you. It means that his desires become your desires when you're delighting in him. Hallelujah. And we can't doubt. Ephesians 3:12 says, "In whom we have boldness and access in confidence through our faith in him." Again, through our trust in him. James 1:6-8 says, "But let him ask in faith, nothing doubting. A doubter will not have his prayers answered, for one who doubts is a double-minded man." James 5:15 speaks of answered prayer and calls it the prayer of faith. So clearly the Bible teaches that we must believe. That we must believe that God hears us and that he will answer our prayers. Again, we know what it's like to step out in faith. Everything we've ever done has been a step of faith. You know, it wasn't, okay, here's the money, now go do it. It was like, we don't have the money, go do it, and I'll supply the money. It goes with the conference, the congregation, everything we've ever done. And believe me, our faith is really being tested now. But you know what, God? You called us to do this. You're very well able to put it on somebody's heart out there to supply the needs that we have in this ministry. You and all you are faithful, but you know it's going to take a lot more than those that are sitting in here. But God will meet our needs. And again, I've had to encourage myself and say, no, God, you are faithful. And look back. Look at three conferences. You've provided money. We've met the budget every single time. And we started out with $0. Okay? Same thing with the, you know, every step of faith we took to go to a next congregation. You know, I was really tempted before we signed the contract here. I was like, Father, there's only a few of us left, and now we're locking ourselves into 3 years and a bigger, you know, a bigger rental. But I knew we had such peace. It's like, no, we need to step. You know what, God? You're going to provide. And we stepped onto it, and, you know, he's going to continue to provide, because he knows there's people that, like, out there like you who need to hear what's being taught here. Yes. Why? So you can be trained up and go out. Amen. We're not looking for a bunch of puppets, you know, yes, Rabbi, whatever you say, Rabbi. No, we're looking for people that are hungry for the word, that want to learn and want to do what God's called them to do. And see you go out and fulfill what God's called you to do. Hallelujah. Where was I? Ephesians 3. Okay, James again. James 5:15 again speaks of answered prayer and calls it the prayer of faith. Okay, the content of faith. What is it that we need to believe in connection with prayer? There are three things. Number one, the existence of Yahweh. Hebrews 11:1. I love Hebrews. I mean, I could probably teach a year just on Hebrews chapter 11. Do a character study and all these people that he's talking about. It says, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen." Okay, if we go on to verse 6, "And without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." Hallelujah. So we need to know that he is Yahweh. He exists and he hears our prayers. We need to believe that Yahweh's ability to hear our prayers. We've got a lot of scriptures to go through here. Hallelujah. Psalm 4:1, David cries out, "Father, hear my prayer." Psalm 6:9, "Yahweh has heard my supplication and will receive my prayer." Psalm 17:1, the psalmist is crying out, "Give ear to my prayer." Psalm 39:12, "Hear my prayer, O Yahweh." Psalm 54:2, "Hear my prayer, O God." Psalm 55:1, "Give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not yourself from my supplications." Psalm 61:1, "Attend to my prayer." Psalm 88:2, "Let my prayer enter into your presence." Psalm 102:1, "Hear my prayer, O Yahweh." Psalm 143:1, "Hear my prayer, O Yahweh. Give ear to my supplications." Notice how frequently in the book of Psalms the emphasis is upon Yahweh's hearing the prayer. The psalmist who comes to God in these prayers clearly believed not only that God existed, but that he was able to hear and therefore answer his prayers. Hallelujah. Again, God is not somewhere so far away that we can't find him. He is right here in our heart. I mean, it's just like amazes me over the billions of people in this world. He knows exactly what you're thinking, exactly what you need. It's like you're the only person there. When we are, I mean, it's like we serve an awesome God. Hallelujah. Again, faith believes that Yahweh's disposition is to answer our prayers. He wants to answer our prayers according to his will. He's not going to answer selfish prayers. He's not going to answer a prayer, "Father, I want, you know, another man's, you know, wife," or "I want another, you know, husband's wife," or whatever. He's not going to answer that prayer. You know, "Father, I want that person's business," or, "You know, I like my neighbor's house better. You know what? I want his house." He's not going to answer that kind of prayer. You know, that's selfish prayer. He answers prayers in accordance with his word. And you think it's funny, but you know what? There's people that actually pray prayers like that, you know, and they think the guy's going to answer. I don't think so, because that's contrary to his word. Doesn't the Bible say we're not to covet our neighbor's wife or spouse or property? You know, but again, yeah, I've heard people, you know, pray those prayers, and it's like, if that prayer gets answered, it's not from God. Psalm 66:19 says that he has attended to the voice of my prayer. We know that when we pray, he is listening to our prayers. The Bible says our prayers is as incense, that, you know, before the throne of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 66:20, "Blessed be God who has not turned away from my prayer." Matthew 7:9-11, "How much more shall your Father who is in heaven give good things to him that ask?" Again, he wants to give good things to his children. Again, the example was Yeshua was giving, you know. Let's go to Matthew 7:9. Verse 7, "Ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Or what man is there among you, when his son shall ask him for a loaf, will he give him a stone? Or if he shall ask for a fish, will he give him a snake? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your Father who is in heaven give what is good to those who ask him? Therefore, however you want people to treat you, so treat them, for this is the law and the prophets." Yes, hallelujah. The law and the prophets. Thank you, Yahweh. Let's go to James chapter 1. Praise you, Yahweh. Hallelujah. James, your actual name is Yaakov, a bondservant of Yahweh and the Lord Yeshua HaMashiach, to the 12 tribes who were dispersed abroad. Greetings. It amazes how many times people pass that by. Here he's talking about the 12 tribes that are dispersed. Produce endurance. Yes, your faith is going to be tested. But you know what? That's when you grow strong. And let endurance have its perfect work, resulting that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, again, without doubting, for the one who doubts is like the surf of the sea, driven tossed by the wind. And let that man expect that he will receive anything from the Lord, being double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. This minute, 1 minute you ask God something, and the next minute you're like, oh, he's not going to do that. Then you pray, Father, I pray that you're going to, you know, that you heal this person. No, he's not going to do that. Father, I thank you that you meet all my needs. You know, I better go out and get a loan. Father, you know, it's like, again, it's like, you know, we're double-minded man. You know, we're looking at him, and then we're getting in the flesh. Okay, been there, done that. You know, I'm not telling you anything that, you know. But praise God, we get past it, and we learn to trust him and not look to the flesh. You know, again, right, you know, we have to keep our eyes off ourselves, because if we look at, well, okay, how am I going to meet these finances? You know, we only have so much money, but you know, God knows how to meet it. You know, but there's always that temptation to you know, help God along. And when we do that, we usually make a mess of things, just like Abraham found out with Ishmael.
Amen.
You know, it's like, hey, if Abraham could mess up, so can we.
Right.
Hallelujah. The promises of Yahweh. Our faith must be based on the promises of Yahweh. Philippians 4:19 emphasizes Yahweh's promises. Let's go to Philippians 4:19. Again, if we ask anything in accordance with his will is his word.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So we could boldly, so I think it's so important to pray the word. If you look at your Shabbat Siddur, your prayer Siddurs, most of it is scripture. Okay? We always pray. Another book I like is Prayers That Availeth Much. I pray in the word and pray in the spirit. You can't go wrong. You know, because the flesh is like, you're depending on the spirit and the word, and you know, the flesh is you know, pushed aside, and the doubt and unbelief. Philippians 4:19. And my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches and glory in Yeshua HaMashiach. All your needs, not all your wants. Yeah, I want a lot of things, you know, it's like, but it's what we need. And again, that's the problem with this prosperity gospel. Okay, it's a gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy, you know. I want all you can give me. I know this has been said before. But again, it's, you know, it's a selfish gospel. It's like, you know, well, if you're not a millionaire, then you're not blessed by God. And if you're, you know, if you're not driving a Cadillac, you're not, excuse me, we're blessed. We may not have, you know, everything, everybody. I mean, how big of a house does two people need?
Right.
I mean, do we need a mansion with 20 rooms just to prove that we're blessed? We can't even take care of the one we got with 3 rooms. You know, it's like, no, that wouldn't be a blessing for us. But it's,
you're gonna help me clean.
Yeah. Hallelujah. It's, you know, I mean, again, we've got our priorities goofed up sometimes. You know, and even we sat down when we were at a rent the synagogue, we were sitting down with the leader of the synagogue, and he, you know, he was funny because, you know, a Jewish person knows what true prosperity is. He says, you know, I was watching one of those prosperity teachers on TV, and he looks at us, he goes, you know they're wrong, don't you? And he says, oh yeah, we do. I think he was testing us, you know, because they know to be prosperous is to have enough to meet your needs and extra to help somebody else. You know, so that you have an abundance to help somebody else. That's what we want for this congregation. We want enough to meet the needs of the congregation and an abundance to help other people. You know, it's like, we don't need a $2 million building. You know, it's like, it's ridiculous. You know, I believe God can put up some hard to give us a building. But you know what, $2 million is going to feed a lot of people. Why spend $2 million in a building that people go in once a week? You know, it's like, you know, hey, there's plenty of empty buildings around that we could rent, you know. We rent this one, there's a bigger empty one next door. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Where am I? Okay. Again, we're going to the subjective condition to prayer. Faith is a prerequisite subjective condition in prayer. Okay, let's go to Matthew 17. Beginning with verse 14, okay? And when they came to the multitude, a man came up, falling on his knees before them and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and is very ill, for he has often falls into the fire and often into the water. And I brought him to your disciples or your Talmudim, and they could not cure him. And Yeshua answered and said, O unbelieving and perverted generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Bring him here to me. And Yeshua rebuked him, and the demon came out of him, and the boy was cured at once. Then the Talmudim came to Yeshua privately and said, Why could we not cast it out? And he said, Because of the littleness of your faith. For truly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you shall say to this mountain, Move from here to there, and it shall move, and nothing shall be impossible to you. But this is kind goes not out except by prayer and fasting. So again, let's kind of look at, you know, some of these things that we see in this. Again, he's just saying you didn't have even a, you know, he says, you all need is faith as a mustard seed. You know, it's like that's within you. Why? Believe in God. Because do we have the power to cast out a demon? No, the demons listen to you, the name of Yeshua. That's, he says, you in the name of Yeshua, you get set free. Okay? So again, the Talmudim had you know, little faith. Again, are we the same way? How many times do we not do something that God's told us to do because we don't believe? I mean, it's simple. If God's told you to do something, he's gonna provide a way for you to do it. It is not necessary to have great faith. Mustard seed is sufficient. Again, the mustard seed is one of the tiniest seeds there is. Our faith must be consistent, again, knowing that it's not us, it's the name of Yeshua. Amen. What did Peter say? Silver and gold have I not. In the name of Yeshua, rise up and walk. They knew the power was in his name, and they believed in the power of that name. That's why all the miracles and deliverances happened. We must, again, be consistent in our faith. The seed is a small thing, but it has the ability to shoot forth into flowering plants. I think the mustard seed is probably one of the strongest trees there is in strength and size, and it just comes from a little itty-bitty seed. A little faith can be applied and can shoot up to great accomplishments. Again, we look at the first conference we did. We had 400 people. The speaker said, that, you know, that's amazing for your first conference. We didn't start out with a bad, they didn't know before. We started doing little conferences, taking steps of faith. And the God says, okay, now I want you to do a bigger one. You know, and God met our needs. And people, you know, and again, God's showing us what to do every step of the way. You know, praying, God, I don't know what to do. What do we do? Holy Spirit gives me the wisdom. God, what should we do? Holy Spirit gives us the wisdom. You know, and every speaker that was there said about our conference, it says, number one, the love and unity they've never felt in any, like they feel in our conference. Why? Because that's what we prayed for the spirit of love and unity. I mean, they were just like, it says, this is one of the best conferences that they go to. And these are speakers that speak at all kinds of conferences. Why? Because our prayer is that the Spirit of God would be there, that the Spirit of love and unity, and they felt it. Why? Because that's what we prayed and interceded for a whole year. And that's what we're praying for now and interceding, and we expect that God's going to answer and do that. Hallelujah. And we pray for the anointing upon the speakers. We pray for every person that comes, that has a divine appointment to come there. Correct prayer is impossible without faith. Without faith, we are not praying correctly. Deficiency in faith will render our prayers ineffective. The context of casting out a demon requires the prayer of faith. Are there people that need demons cast out of them? Yes, there still are. But again, sometimes, you know, some churches take it to the extreme where they end up putting on a show, you know, and it's like, we're simply supposed to, you know, what did you should? He just simply rebuked them, said, go, right. Get out. He didn't put up, you know, some of these places people are throwing up and doing all kinds of goofy things. That's not God. You know, he says, you take authority over me. You don't entertain them. You know, sometimes, you know, Yeshua said, and I taught on this, he spoke to that demon and addressed it by name and then said, get out. He didn't sit there and hold a conversation with it. You know, he called it by name and cast it out. And that person was set free like that and glorified God. That's the whole purpose. It's not so we can put on a circus, you know, which a lot of people do for the wrong reasons. Yes, God wants people to be set free and delivered. You know, but we need to do it the way Yeshua did it. He's our example. And it's by his name we need to believe. Okay? And again, we believe in deliverance. Because the Word of God says so.
Amen.
You know? Again, Matthew, let's go to Matthew 21, verses 18 to 22. We're almost finished here. Again, I want to get through the whole thing. Now in the morning when he returned to the city, he became hungry. And seeing a lone fig tree by the road, he came to it and found nothing on it except leaves only. And he said, no longer shall there ever be any fruit from you. And at once the fig tree withered. And when we get into teaching this, we'll go into more depth of the understanding of this parable. And seeing this, the Talmudim marveled and said, how did the fig tree wither at once? And Yeshua answered and said to them, truly I say to you, if you have faith and do not doubt, you shall not do only what was done to this fig tree, but even if you say to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, it shall happen. And all things you ask in prayer, believing, you shall receive. So you should say you have mountain-moving faith. Okay? If you believe in the power of his name and believe in the power of God. We do little because we believe little. Okay? We don't believe that God is able to do that. Again, if we're doing, you know, what God has called us to do, and again, we know it's his will for us to have this congregation. We know it's his will to do what he's called us to do. He will meet those needs. And believe me, we've gone through tests, but those tests help strengthen our faith. Sometimes we all have the rent money, like, at the last minute. It's like, whew, you made the rest. You know, thank you, Yahweh. But he meets it. Hallelujah. The believer must continually believe that what he is asking for is happening right now. This statement applies a note of expectation.
Yes.
In the Greek, the action of the verb receive actually takes place before the action described. In the verb believe, what that means grammatically is go on believing that you have received it, asking with expectancy. We are to go on believing even while we are asking, knowing that Yahweh has already heard and answered our petitions. Maybe not the way we wanted him to, maybe not the answer we wanted, but he has answered and we need to believe that. Hallelujah. Because you know what? He knows what's best for us. So that's, you know, and when he answers, it's going to be the best. You know, we're limited. We think we know what's best for us. Okay, but he knows. So what is the order? Is it prayer and faith, or is it faith and prayer? Okay, you know, what came first, the chicken or the egg, right? Mark 11:22 teaches that it is not faith in faith, nor is it faith in your prayers, but it is faith in Yahweh. Okay, it's not faith in your faith. You know, it's faith in him. Faith in Yahweh comes first before any praying. Because when you're praying, you need to know that he hears you and he's going to answer those prayers and those petitions. And it may take time. You know, sometimes, you know, I like what Pat Boone once said one time. He says, you know, we're in such a fast society. You know, we think God's a microwave God. You know, you ask your prayer, you stick it in the microwave, in 30 seconds, boof, it's there.
Yeah.
How long are you willing to stand? There's some things we stood for years. You know, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. Some stuff answered right away. But, you know, it's God's timing. Because what we were believing God before, we probably weren't ready to do yet. But we had to stand and so we could grow and be prepared. And then he opened the door. But it says, having done all to stand, you stand. Hallelujah. A lot of times we're not patient enough. And what happens, our faith... Yahweh finds himself to answer. with full confidence. His word is his will. If we're not sure something's his will, then we need to get to the word and know that we have scripture to stand for. Okay? Again, we know that it's his will for the gospel to be preached, for the sick to be healed, for Torah to be taught, for Yeshua to be proclaimed, for salvation, for deliverance, for people's needs to be met, to feed the widow and the orphan. Yes. You know, we know it's his need that it's his will for us to have clothes on our back, because he said that he would take care of us. He would make sure that we have, you know, that we have the clothes we need, the food we need.
Yes.
Amen. His eyes are on the sparrows. Hallelujah. And again, we need to pray that it's in accordance with his will. And if you know, if we know that it's in his word, we can stand in confidence, because we're standing upon his promises, knowing that we can confidently, is his will for us, our children, to be saved? Absolutely, yes. Does he love our kids more than we do? Absolutely, yes. You know, it's like, does he know how to bring laborers across their path? Absolutely, yes. He knew how to bring across our path, and we did not have godly parents who were on their face praying for us. How much more do our kids have godly parents, spirit-filled, who know how to stand in faith and fight for their kids? You don't think God wants to see them saved? You know, we just keep on praying and we keep on interceding. As I say, you know what, God, you know how to get to me. You know how to get to our son. You know how to get to our children. Not in our timing, but his timing. Okay, because again, they have wills too, you know, and God. But, you know, our prayers break through the lies of the enemies. We need to keep on standing and interceding and praying for our kids, praying for one another, praying for this. The most important ministry we have is prayer. If this ministry isn't founded on prayer, if our home isn't founded on prayer, if everything we do isn't founded on prayer, we're going to get nowhere.
Hallelujah.
It rhymes. Hallelujah. Okay, again, we know praying according to the will of Yahweh. Hallelujah. Yeah. Okay, there are eight. Okay, let me just see something. I don't want to get ahead of myself here. Okay, so we're praying again in accordance with the will of God. Matthew 21:21-22. There's eight, again, specific passages where this principle is found. It says, if you have faith and not doubt, it shall be done. True faith aligns personal desires with the will of God, and such requests are granted. Okay? Two, you know, I'd encourage, you know, single people, because I was a single pastor for 4 years, you know, and to believe God, you know, for the right mate. He knows how to bring the right mate across your path. You just serve him and put him. You don't go looking for it. They'll find you. He knows how to bring you together. He's the greatest matchmaker in the world. You know, he brought Eve to Adam. You know, it's like we just need to keep our eyes on him. You know, I got married when I was 33 years old. First time, never married before. But I stood and believed in, you know, God for his best for me. And a lot of times what I thought was my best for me wasn't my best. And I had to trust him. Here he is, 23 years. Hallelujah. Because he knew the kind of woman he needed, and he knew the kind of man that I needed to do what God called us to do. Was it all smooth? No, we had our bumps. We had our, you know, things that we had to fight through and pray and stand on the word for. Because the enemy wants to break up godly marriages.
Yes.
You see that, because there's just as many Christian divorces now as there are unsaved people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because of the power we have together. We need to stand, okay, and get out of the flesh and get in the spirit. Because God says, who God has brought together, let no man put asunder. When God's brought you together, so you know what, stand. God knows if he's given you the desire to be married, God knows how to do it, because it's his will. Okay? If you didn't want to be married, you wouldn't have the desire. You know, if you didn't want to be, you wouldn't have the desire for it. So don't let people tell you, well, maybe you're called to be single. If you were, you'd know it. Okay? But we need to let God be the matchmaker and keep him first. And he knows how to bring the right person across our life. Because again, our flesh, you know, we may, you know, think that that's, you know, the perfect person for me, but God knows who the perfect person is for us. He knows, Father knows best. Hallelujah. Almost done here. Hallelujah. Matthew 26, verse 39 and 42. And the second passage, Matthew 26, 39 and 42, with a parallel account in Luke 22, 42, which records both the prayer and the answer. First is the prayer. The request was, let this cup pass from me. The condition was, not as I will, but as you will. Then came the answer. This request was not in accordance with the will of God. The result was that the request was denied. God the Father did not answer the prayer of Yeshua. Again, Yeshua, the man, he was 100% man, but he was Yahweh in the flesh. So why he knew, again, it says that he can sympathize with all our temptations and our weaknesses because he walked in a fleshly body, but he sinned not. Okay, so he knows everything we go. He knows the temptations, okay, to want to run the other way, you know, when the going gets tough. But he broke through and he finished exactly what God had sent him to do. Mark 11, 22 to 24. Let's go there. Let's go up to verse 15. Okay, and then they came to Jerusalem, they entered the temple, and began to cast out those who were buying and selling in the temple. So much for the picture of Yeshua being meek and mild, and you know what? It's like, it says the zeal of God consumed him. When he saw corruption in his temple, he had no problem throwing them out.
Right.
Hallelujah. And he would not permit anyone to carry goods through the temple. And he began to teach and say to them, it is written, my house shall be called a house of prayer for all the nations, but you have made it a robber's den. It's like a lot of our churches today have become social clubs. It says our congregations are supposed to be houses of prayer for all nations. Okay? Again, there's churches, you know, these million-dollar, they've got like coffee shops and restaurants and everything. And, you know, it's like, we're supposed to be a house of prayer. You know, we should have, if anything, you know, prayer chambers all over and mikvahs all over the congregation. You know, rabbis say the most important thing is to have a mikvah built even before the synagogue.
Wow.
That is the priority. Hallelujah. And what a priority is. Well, okay, how can we lure people in here? The word of God isn't enough. We got to lure them. You know, we got to have entertainment. We've got to, you know, it's like, because, you know, the word's not going to, you know, people, you know, aren't going to find it boring. Yeah, McDonald's. It's like, you don't believe the word is enough to bring people in, that you have to, you know, try to seduce them.
Right.
It's like, where's your faith? You think God's going to honor that? You know, I believe God is, people flock to Yeshua because they are hungry for the word, not because he was putting on a show. And offering them, well, yes, he fed the multitude, but he didn't say, oh, come, you know, here's some bread, now come and hear me teach.
Wow.
He fed them after they came to hear him teach and took care of them. Again, where's our priorities? That's why, again, we part of our worship is our prayers, is our prayer service. You know, and the more you get to know those prayers, the more they become prayers of the heart. Okay, and as you're reading them, you're really feeling the anointing and the power of God and who you're standing before. Again, Mark 11, 23 and 24. We get back to 22. And Yeshua answered, saying, have faith in Yahweh. Truly I say to you that whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that what he said is going to happen, it shall be granted him. Therefore I say to you, all things in which you pray and ask, believe that you receive them, and they shall be granted to you. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. You know, we kind of stop right there. Okay, anything I ask is going to be given to me, but we forget the next verse. And whenever you stand praying, forgive. If you have anything against anyone, so that your Father in heaven may forgive you. Again, I was part of the, you know, the And I was in the faith churches for years, you know. But I saw, you know, scriptures being taken and perverted. It was like, you know, it turned into like greed and lust. Well, you know, name and claim it. Well, I want that, and, you know, therefore God's going to give it to me. You know, but I kept on seeking, you know. It's like, yeah, I learned about faith, but I learned about faith based on what the Word says, not by some of the antics I saw going on. You know, and I thought, you know, God, something's not right. You know, your spirit starts telling you, something's not quite right. You know, I know it's your Word, but the way they were teaching it was incorrectly. Okay? Again, why? Appealing to the lust of the flesh. Okay? Again, we saw, you know, a YouTube thing of a minister, and people were, you know, he's talking about, you know, you command that money to come to you, and people throwing it at his feet, and he's stamping all over the money. Is that how we treat the offerings of God? Offerings are sacred to Him, and there's money strewn all over the stage, and he's stepping on it, and you know, he's walking. I'm thinking, that's how you treat the offering of God? You step on it?
People are coming up and throwing it.
Yeah, throwing, you know, throwing it. It's like, do you think God's pleased with that kind of offering? That's like, to me, you know, that's a show. It's like you're telling God, you know, you're commanding, you know, God what to do. That's not how we would give an offering to God. We don't throw it at some man's feet.
Hallelujah.
That's
Hallelujah.
Idol worship.
That's right.
You know, that's what the pagans do. They throw stuff at their idols' feet.
Right.
Their money. You see that there's, they call it the Italian feast. They bring Mary. A statue of Mary through the streets, and they pin money on the statue and money all over. That's paganism.
Mm-hmm.
That's not how we worship God with our offerings. That's not the right way to bring our offerings to Him. You know, and we look, then we wonder why the world looks at some of these, you know, and think, you know, that's, I don't want nothing to do with that. Again, our offering is supposed to be, how would it be? Okay, let's put it on. And that you had approached, and that offering was treated with respect and holiness to God, because it represented Yeshua. Okay? So we need to, again, watch, you know, when we watch things, go back to the Word. You know, some people can be preaching scriptures and teaching you wrong.
That's right.
You know, it's very easy to take scriptures that even cults use the scripture. Okay?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. That wasn't in my notes, but it's okay. Somebody needs to hear this, who's listening. Hallelujah. So again, we are called to walk by faith. And faith, again, in Hebrew context, is trust. Trust in God. A trust in your heart that God, yes, I believe that you exist, that you hear my prayers, and I trust you that you are going to answer these prayers. Hallelujah. They're in accordance with your will. Okay, and last but not least, keep on going. John 14:13-14. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, that will I do. Again, the whatsoever in this verse is limited to that which will bring glory to God. Again, how many times we see that taken out of, you know, context and used for selfish reasons? If it will not bring God glory, he will not answer positively. But if it will bring God glory, he will answer. If a no answer will give God the greater glory, so be it. John 15:7, the fifth passage. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you will and it shall be done. When his word abides in you and you abide in him, you're not going to want to ask for anything that's outside his will. Why? Because his word is in you and you abide in him. John 15:16, that whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he may give it you. Again, we go in the name of Yeshua. The context here also is that of fruit bearing, and prayer here is prayer associated with productivity. God, Yeshua, is looking for fruit in our life. Okay, no fruit. What happens? A branch doesn't produce fruit. He prunes it off, casts it into the fire. He wants us to be fruit-bearing. Hallelujah. And what's the fruit? The people, the lives of people that we've affected, that we've touched with the Word of God. People whose lives have been transformed. People who have become born again. People who have been set free and delivered. That's the fruit he's looking for. You know, not how much money you have. Do you think money impresses God? It's like, you know, he's looking for fruit. For, you know, and we went out to lunch with John and Priscilla Lack. They had ministered here before. And he said something that was really astounding. He said that they were talking to a person that knows a lot about media. He says, we're into the point where people are informationed out. There's just so information out there that's just like can't, you know, it's like taken anymore. He says what people are looking for is transformation.
Yes.
They want to know how can God transform my life. Okay? And that's what Yeshua did. Didn't he go out and transform people's lives? Isn't that what the Talmud did then? They went out and transformed people's lives. They didn't say, could you hear the Apostle Paul? Well, if you give me, you know, $500, God will give you $5,000. He never said that. He says, you know, he received offerings so fruit would abound to them because they were what? Sown into the kingdom. Okay? But he, you know, again, some of the, you know, the silly things we do, if we look back to our examples, would they do something like that? I think, you know, if Paul was here, he'd look around and say, Meshuggah. These guys are, where did they get this gospel from? This isn't what I was teaching. John 16:23-24. If you ask anything of the Father, he will give it to you in my name. This is not a blank check that anything you ask for God will give you. Again, like Andrew Ross knows me right before, God's not our sugar daddy that, you know, he just, like anything we want, he's going to, you know, he's going to give us. It says the context has to do with joy and sorrow. A believer's joy is very much part of the revealed will of God because such prayer is within the realm of God's will. The request to be answered. So if we ask for joy in the realm of our salvation, we will get it. If we ask for joy in living out the spiritual life, we will get it. God wants to answer those types of prayer. Hallelujah. And last, 1 John 5:14-15. Let's go there. Let's begin with verse 13. These things I have written to you that you may believe in the name of the Son of God in order that you may know that you have eternal life. And this is the confidence which we have before him, that if we have asked anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, we have whatever we ask. We know that we have the requests which we have asked from him. Hallelujah. Again, this is an absolute principle. Anything we ask in accordance with his will, he will hear us. The anything of the previous passages is limited by the passage according to his will. Again, that's the key. According to his will. We want his will. We want his perfect will for our lives. We want to be men and women of God that know how to pray. That know when we pray for people, we're believing that they're going to be set free and delivered. We're just not going to be, well, I hope so. You know, I'll pray for you. I hope you get healed. You know, maybe it's not God's will for you to heal. You know, maybe he just wants you sick. You know, maybe it's not God's will for you to be, to be set free. Maybe he wants you to go around, you know, in bondage. No, because why did Yeshua say, gave us a commission to go out and lay hands on the sick and see them recover, cast out demons? He told, that's what we're to do as believers. You know, there's demon-possessed people back then. There's probably even more now. You know? But we need to, again, set people free by the authority of Yeshua. Be people of prayer. Be people of faith that trust Yahweh to bring glory to him, to see fruit abound in our lives. Pray, intercede that the perfect will of God is done for in each of our lives and that we run the race and we win that race.